I'll see. on and maybe just sing one of one chorus before Brother Brad comes. Lord, you are so precious to me.
Bless you. And this is our final service. I'm going to take a slightly different angle this evening. It's a message I believe the Lord gave me from His Word concerning conditions of the world as it is today, financial conditions, economic. So I'm going to speak on when money fails. If I hear any groans from those that have already heard it. But I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Now I appreciate all the hospitality that's been shown me. I really appreciate it. I do, and you've given us a wonderful time here. And I've enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed the sunshine and everything that you've done. You've looked after us well, and we thank the Lord for that. So I want to read from the book of Genesis 47. I want to read verses 15 to 26. And when money failed in the land of Egypt, and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread. Why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought the cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all the cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is naught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants under Pharaoh. And give us a seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, and wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it came to pass in the increase that you shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight, O my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, it's impossible for me to be able to emphasize clearly in a manner that we will all understand the truths that are contained within the scripture tonight. But I pray the Holy Spirit would illuminate the word. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us from the scripture. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be blessed and that we would understand how relevant the Bible is to our days. Just bless it now, I pray. Bless all of your people. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Of course, when we're talking about how this message came was, one day I was just reading my Bible, and that word concerning the when money failed in the land of Egypt, that really struck me. When money failed, if you go through the Bible, you will not find that statement anywhere. You will never find another situation that I'm aware of where money failed. And we're in a condition now in the end time where money is about to collapse. And so there's some significant lessons, I believe, that the Bible will tell us what the conclusion of that will be when money fails. So I think we also need to understand that when we talk about money failing in the land of Egypt, we've also got to understand that this was under the administration of Joseph. Of course, in the last days, it won't be under the administration of Joseph. Remember, after these events, there was another Pharaoh arose that didn't know Joseph. And that, I believe, is what is going to happen. If Satan is an imitator, he's not an originator. No. So he will copy God's ways, and he will copy God's pattern. And this was God's pattern for Egypt at that particular time. And it leads to a conclusion and an event and situations that may well and truly affect the world as we go forward with the current economic situation that we're facing in this world. So I want to talk to you about when money fails. Of course, in Egypt, what happened was money was based upon precious metals, and the people just ran out of it. There was no money left. Of course, in our day, they just print more money, but actually the printing of money just adds to the debt of a country. And then in the end, finally, the whole finances collapse. And that's the situation that we're seeing in the world today. The whole world is totally, absolutely bankrupt, beyond any help, unless somebody else steps in. So let's just have a look at a few things. It's important to understand the concept of money. Money simply facilitates trade. If you've got something I want, and I've got something you want, Then we can agree a trade between ourselves. I might give you an item that I possess, and you would say, okay, I've got an item that you want. Well, they may be of equivalent value, then I give you mine and you give me yours. But actually money, printed money, or money, minted money, gold or silver, is a form of, it makes the transaction easy. Because you might have something I want, and you may put a value on it of £10. And I may have something, you may have something I want worth 10, you believe is worth £10. I might have something that's worth £5. But money that you want, and then money is just the means of exchange. We're not actually, we get goods for it, but we're not exchanging goods to get other goods. You could go back and think about people living on a desert island somewhere. Maybe they would put some value on seashells, and they would trade seashells for baskets or fruit or whatever else. It's just a means of trade. It's the means of transacting and being able to transact between two parties. It facilitates it so that you may not want my baskets, but I may want your fruit. And so my baskets may be worth something, but not to the person that's got the fruit. I've got some seashells. I can actually sell my baskets to somebody else for a few seashells, then use those seashells to buy your fruit. So it just expedites trade. So in Egypt, what was actually happening was money was failing. In other words, the money supply was running out. And I think we've got a different system today, but I think we can say pretty well the money supply is failing. It's running out. And we're facing some very severe financial and economic results as a result of that. You know, in the Roman Empire, the way that they were able to get more money into circulation was that they actually reduced the amount of precious metals in the coins that they minted. And so they were able to multiply the number of coins based on the amount of precious metals they had. But eventually that system collapsed. Today they're talking about removing completely paper money because they want everything to go electronic. When it goes electronic, you have no control. The bank has all control of your assets, every bit of wealth that you have. And today, money is actually more digital than it is paper or fiat currency, dollars and so forth. It is more digital. If you go to a bank and you want to build a house and they lend you a certain amount of money, say they lend you £50,000 or £100,000, they don't deliver a truckload of money to your door, which you pay out to the builders to build the house. No, it's all done digitally. It's all transferred digitally. In fact, I would say 95, maybe higher percent of all my money transactions are all done electronically. I don't have any cash. I do have some, but I don't use cash. I use credit card, which is just simply a digital transfer. Of course, now they're talking about actually bringing in digital money completely so that they have complete control over your assets. In other words, the bank can say, no, you're not going to get your money. I'll freeze your money. Look what happened in Canada with the truckers when they protested against the lockdowns. What happened was they froze their bank accounts, and they can do that. I don't want to go too far in that, and I don't want to try to be too specific, but give you an overview of what happened in Egypt to say that we have a pattern in the scriptures that I believe will be repeated in the last days. How it'll all unfold, the full detail of that I'm not able to give you. But I will say this, that there is the currencies of this world are failing. The more you print, the less value it has, the more inflation you've got, things cost you more money. And that's the sort of thing that we're looking at today. The more we look around us, we see people can't afford to rent houses in our country. There's a huge lack of housing for people. Houses are unaffordable, they're so high. People are now living on the sides of the roads in tents, packing up every night, going to another spot on the road. People are living in car parks. People are living in their cars. And this is a global thing now. I don't know about Ireland, but it's happening in the US. It's happening everywhere because right now, the financial situation is failing. People are failing. Finances are failing. And so Joseph under God, of course, brought prosperity to Egypt. Of course, later a pharaoh that knew not Joseph ruled in tyranny. And as I said earlier, Satan imitates God. Let me just give you a few statistics. I hope not to put you to sleep today. John was telling me a story about a preacher that got up to preach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The whole congregation was asleep and he quietly walked out and he told the brother at the door not to wake them, just let them sleep on. And so I said, would he mind leaving me with his keys this afternoon so I can get away too if everybody is asleep? Hey, it's really hard. The evening service, the afternoon service, people get really weary. So, but let me just quote a few statistics to you. In America, November 2022, the US national debt was $31.3 trillion. And if you want to know what that means per citizen, it means every citizen, if they were to pay and contribute to paying back that debt, it is $95,000 for every living person in the United States. That's the debt. Can you imagine it? In 1960, the national debt was $286 billion, $2.6 trillion adjusted for inflation. So you can see it's gone from 2.6 to 31.3 on the same parity of value. Australia's national debt is $895 billion. That's $36,000 per citizen. And the UK's national debt is $2.445 trillion, and that's £36,000 per individual in the United Kingdom. So you can see money is failing. We're coming to the end of a very disastrous period where money printing has reached unparalleled levels. And so I want to look at the result of the failure of money in Egypt and see if we can't see that there's a parallel to what's happening in the world today. So there were difficult economic times in Egypt and Canaan. There was a 7 year of economic prosperity, and then there was a 7 year of drought, which destroyed the economy. It's interesting that it was actually weather change in Egypt that drove the situation. And I do believe today the governments of this world have an agenda with weather change. It's to push the people in a certain direction, and that direction is further and greater control over all the peoples of the world and their decision making and everything else. I was talking to Brother Frank Hall in London. He was telling me he's got to get rid of his car. He said every time he drives his car in London, because it's a diesel, it's only a small diesel, it costs him £12 every time he drives his car in London. So he's got to get rid of it. And this is the way governments are forcing this climate change issue. That's just one example. There's many more examples that we could talk about. And as I said, I don't want to get too prescriptive, but it's interesting that it was weather and drought that actually caused the situation in Egypt and the situation for Joseph to take control. There was a transfer in Egypt of wealth and power. You'll notice that soon they had no money left, so they gave them their horses and their cattle. And then when the horses and the cattle, when they had no more horses and cattle, they said, look, we'll be honest with you, we've got nothing left to give. We give to Pharaoh our lands, and we give to Pharaoh our lives. We belong to him. We will serve Pharaoh. And so, you know, I don't know whether you've ever heard of Maslow's pyramid of need, and he talks about at the top of the needs is the physiological need for food and clothing. See, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. If you've got no food and you've got no clothing, it means so much. Food and clothing's number one. Safety, personal security, employment, resources, health, prosperity is number two. That's also a very important thing. You'll notice that in the last 3 years, it has been personal safety that has driven people in fear to obey some very ridiculous commands by the government to control the way people's lives are run. And people have complied with it and they've fallen in line with it. And you can see how the enemy works. If he can get you to such a state where you need to rely upon the system for both your food and clothing and also for your personal security, then people will be prepared to do anything, no matter what the price is, to get that kind of support. So it's real. And then, of course, after that, in this hierarchy of needs, there's love and belonging, there's esteem, respect, self-esteem, there's self-actualization, the desire to become the most of what you can. But those two things, physiological and safety, were the two things that drove the Egyptians to actually give themselves over to Pharaoh. And that's exactly what happened at that time. There was a trade-off in Egypt. And so all the trade-off was, you give us everything, you give us your life, and we will look after you, we'll provide you with food, we'll provide you with safety, and we will take care of your needs. And that was what happened in Egypt. And so we have a very clear biblical example of what happens when money fails in Egypt, which represents the world. So there was a transfer of the wealth, money, goods, cattle, land, ownership, bodies. We read in verses 18 and 19 that it says this, when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also has our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore we shall die before thine eyes, both we and our land. Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be the servants under Pharaoh. So there was this failure which caused a complete transfer of wealth out of the hands of the poor and the lower class people into the hands of the very rich. So what was happening, the people were also moved into cities. If you know what they're planning for the world, one of the things that they're planning for the world is city and city dwelling. In other words, people having to move out of country areas into the city, into an area where they can be controlled. This has already been proposed. I'm not saying that's exactly what will happen, but it's interesting that in Egypt, they made them move into cities where they could be controlled by Pharaoh and those in power at that time. Then what we find out is that all of the wealth and the people were transferred under the headship of one man. One man had control now, and that is the Pharaoh over Egypt. And I believe the design of everything that's happening, as I said, I don't know what steps are going to take place, but as we see now, money is about to fail. I do believe what we're going to find is the process is going to bring everything under the control of one man that'll be the Antichrist. And the scriptures talk about that, the power being transferred and given into the hands of one man. The whole economy linked to and controlled by one man. You can read that all the way through what we read there in the scriptures tonight. They worshipped and gave themselves over to Pharaoh. You find out that they did reverence to Pharaoh. They said, you've saved our lives. And that's exactly what the world is looking for today. They're looking for a man that'll come on the scene that'll save this world from the disaster that it's currently in. And so, of course, we see the breakdown of the sovereignty of families, individuals, nations. It is now put under the control of government bodies. Freedom will disappear. This happens when money fails and economies collapse. I can't determine the process, but I can tell you what the end results will be. Revelations chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. And they worshipped the dragon that gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is likened unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, which is exactly what happened in Egypt. In a microcosm, if you like, of what I believe will happen again in the last days when money fails. And we're right at the process now. They're all talking about how they can restructure the world's finances, how they can introduce new monetary systems and so forth. But you can be sure of all, with all of this, that the wealth is going to transfer and the power is going to transfer more and more into a minority of people and finally into the hands of an antichrist that will have control and dictate what people do in this world. Freedoms will be gone. They will control your money. They will control everything that you do. You won't even be able to draw it out. You'll have to be given permission to do it. They'll control what goes into your bank account, what comes out of your bank account. They'll have control of money. That is the objective. And that will happen. It's just the momentum for this is building day by day, by day by day. So in this last days, there has been a transfer of wealth. Let me just give you an example. This was a Reuters report, December 2021, pandemic boosts super rich share of global wealth. This is what they're saying. Separate report, 10 richest men doubled their wealth during the pandemic. The Forbes magazine in 2021, over the past two decades, as the global population of billionaires rose more than fivefold and the largest fortunes rocketed past 100 billion, I started tracking this wealth, not for the voyeuristic thrill, but for the warning signs. Rising inequality was becoming ever more of a political issue, threatening to provoke popular backlashes against capitalism itself. That's exactly what's happening at the moment. The pandemic has reinforced this trend. As the virus spread, central banks injected $9 trillion into economies worldwide, aiming to keep the world economy afloat. Much of that stimulus has gone into financial markets and from there into the net worth of the ultra-rich. That money never went but into the hands of the ultra-rich. The total wealth of billionaires worldwide rose by $5 trillion to $13 trillion in 12 months, the most dramatic surge ever registered on the annual billionaires list compiled by Forbes magazine. The billionaire population boomed last year as well. On the 2021 Forbes list, which runs to April 6th, their numbers arose nearly 700 to a record total of more than 2,700 billionaires. The biggest surge came in China, which added 238 billionaires, one every 36 hours, for a total of 626. Next came the US, which added 110 for a total of 724. The top 10 gainers in the US and China each saw already vast fortunes grow in just 1 year by sums that not long ago would have seemed impossible in a lifetime, from $25 billion to more than $125 billion for Tesla founder Elon Musk. So all the reason I quote that to you, and I know that it's tiring and boring statistics, but the truth of the matter is we're seeing a transfer of wealth taking place already now. Just like in Egypt, there was a transfer of wealth. We're seeing in the world a transfer of wealth out of the hands of the people, the general populace, into the hands of billionaires who are getting together and telling us how this world has got to be run. So, you know, the book of James tells us in chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. We see the scriptures being fulfilled. They're heaping treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cry of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Let me tell you, God's hearing all of this. God's knowing all of this. God understands what's happening. God understands the injustice and this transfer of wealth, and he recorded it thousands of years ago in the book of James. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. In other words, God's allowing these things to happen. God's allowing it to happen. Be patient, therefore, brethren. This is our promise. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door, before the door. So what's that telling us? It's telling us this, that the money's been transferred more and more into the hands of the wealthy. There's a cry of those who are now impoverished coming up into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. We also see that James talks along and says, brethren, you be patient, because God's got a hope for you and he's got a promise for you, and that is that there is going to be a latter rain that is going to fall upon the children of God and bring a deliverance from the Antichrist system and take us home to glory. So we thank the Lord that there's a way of deliverance. Of course, money will fail to deliver in the end. Riches cannot help in the day of calamity. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 19 says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. In other words, they're gathering all of this wealth together, but it's not going to be able to deliver them from the judgments that God is going to be sending upon the face of this earth. Money will fail to bring the rich deliverance. It's also a great leveler, because when the judgments of God comes, God talks about, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, that's interest, so with the giver of usury. In other words, God says, when I send my judgment, I'm going to level everything out so that in the calamity that's coming, that the buyer and the seller will not be greater than the buyer, the lender will not be will be on the same level as the borrower. And so all of humanity is going to be brought down to rock bottom level. But what is the true wealth? Well, the promises of God to his children, a mighty visitation of a latter rain outpouring, the snatching away of his bride, the translation out of this world. Amen. That is the hope that we have as believers. Amen. There is no political system that's going to save us. There is no economic system that's going to save us. There is nothing going to stop the Antichrist moving in the direction to put all the wealth and all the power and all the control into the hands of one man, an evil Pharaoh that knows not God, an Antichrist that's going to have complete control over the lives of the people in this world that are left after the translation of the saints from this world to the next. So we do have a hope, and we thank God for that. In the message, letting off the pressure, see where we're living, friends. What's the matter with people? Can't you see we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep that'll grab that little group together. In a month or so, she'll be gone. As soon as she's gathered together, well, we're at the end. There's no hopes left nowhere. Run to Christ, people. In other words, what the scriptures, what I believe the promises of God to us are that we will have a deliverance from this system. It will not bring us under its control. Before Satan can get his dirty hands on God's children, they'll all be gone, just as we have been talking about in the scriptures this week. So basically, that's the... I cut it down brief because I know it's a bit of a heavy subject, but all I want to say is the scripture has laid out for us a pattern that I personally had not seen that before, but I really do believe the scripture has laid out a clear pattern of the direction that the world is going to be going in and how this is all going to end up in the hands and the control of an antichrist system. But God's children have a promise of deliverance. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So money will not deliver us. Wealth won't deliver us. Nothing else we have will deliver us. But we know the Holy Ghost is able to get us out of here and deliver us from this present evil world and bring us into the kingdom of glory. Let's just stand, shall we, for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we bless and magnify your holy name. Lord, we see the transfer of wealth. We see the climate change thing that drove that whole issue in Egypt. We see, Lord God, how the people, money was failing. The people were transferring their allegiance to Pharaoh. They were doing it to live and to survive. Lord, we do not know what catastrophes lie ahead. When a great economic crash comes and when money loses all of its value and fails. But we do know, Lord God, we have a pattern in the scriptures. And we look to you today, Lord, and the thing that is significant to all of us this afternoon, Lord, is the fact that what we read there in the book of Genesis, we are seeing happening now on the face of this earth. We have another very clear sign that the Lord Jesus Christ is to return again soon. Lord God, help us to get our act together. Help us to get our faith anchored in Jesus Christ. Help us to have our hope completely in the Lord and our trust in his salvation and deliverance, even in the midst of things that are to come. These words may not mean much today, but Lord, they will mean very much in the future when we look back and we see how perfectly the Word of God set out the future for each and every one of us. Father, we praise you because you are our salvation and our deliverance. We don't preach these things to worry anybody or to cause stress or distress, but simply that we may know that our God is able to deliver us and that our God will take care of us in these last days. And we see another sign concerning the coming of the Lord. So bless these words. We commit them to you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless. Brother Brian, I really enjoyed the meeting, son. I want to really thank Brian the night for coming. And hope he'll come again soon. We didn't think the last time I told him that it'd be 5 years. It was 2019 to now, but hopefully, brother, you'll be back before 5 years. But we've really enjoyed the fellowship, and it's been really good that our brother's able to come, Sister Deborah as well. And we really appreciate it, brother, and we want you to take your greetings back from the fellowship here to the brethren in Adelaide. And the Lord bless you, brother. And keep going. It's the meetings have really been good. It's been a season of messages. I've really enjoyed it. We just trust the Lord that the Lord continue to bless Brother Brian as he travels back home. It's a long flight back. And the Lord bless you, brother. I'm going to get Brother Gary to come and sing a few songs before we go tonight. God bless each one. We're back to I was going to say normal, but normal services next week. Back to porridge and praise God. So next week our service will just be normal times and come along, support the meetings. Appreciate each one that's come out to the services. May the Lord bless you. And I want to appreciate Brother Gary leading all the services for that we can have the meetings. And it's not easy, you know, leading all the meetings, and our Sister Oliver playing as well. And each one that's come, may the Lord bless each one. And the Lord bless you. So come ahead, brother, and we'll have a few glory songs before we go. Praise God.
Praise God. Well, sing with that hymn. We sang it there a couple of weeks ago. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. I'm not sure all the way of that music for that. If it might be in the restoration songbook. We'll sing a couple anyway, praise God. We're not too bad, and we'll surely miss our brother when he goes. It's in only believe, maybe all, I'm not sure if we have it. We're watching for the coming. It's KFG, we'll sing it, and then we'll sing a couple of other pieces before we go.
I am watching.